Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we got some great ones today. We're going to keep going camping in the NFL. Plenty of quarterback announcements there, the Alliance in college football, but Freddie Coleman, Mike Golick Jr. here. And Freddie, it is that time. College football season right around the corner. We got week zero going on here, and so we thought we'd really try and get in the mood right now, get everyone excited for some college football. And so with that, we are delighted to head out to the Goodyear Hotline now, where we are joined by Jackson State head football coach and Pro Football Hall of Famer Deion Sanders, kind enough to give us some few moments today. And coach, we appreciate you giving us this time. It's been a chaotic last year. You had the spring season at Jackson State. So how are you feeling now heading into what will be your second full season, year two, ahead of this program?
Don't give me that full season. This is not my second full season. I just met some of those kids a month before we got on the field. I'm just joking. No, we had a spring season, and I'm thankful, I'm happy, I'm elated that we got that over with, we got that in, because it gave us the opportunity to assess a lot of the kids on the field in game-like situations, and I love it. Then we clean house, and we got it. New things. I think we improved at every position, including the kicking games. I'm excited, man. I can't wait. I'm so darn excited. I hadn't been excited like this in a long time for anything.
Coach Sanders, it's one thing. I love your excitement, but you always talked about making sure that things fit or finding the perfect fit. How's Jackson State been able to fit you, and also vice versa so far?
Well, I have to fit Jackson. They don't have to fit me. I got to fit Jackson. I made a decision to come here that was a well-thought-out, well-prayed-about decision, and God called me here collect, and I had to accept the charge, if you can understand that spiritually. This is an opportunity to me that is challenging in so many ways, but it's rewarding in so many ways, too. You got to understand what the divorce rate, the single-parent rate, and you're talking about 98% African-American kids growing up without a father in the house. Now you got to feel that void. And you're not just the head coach. You're the equipment man. You're the trainer. You're the groundskeeper. You're the marketer. You wear so many hats that I wear so many hats here that is unbelievable. You know, I wear a different one. I wear a different one every day, but I like it. I have not worked a day yet. I love it. I'm surrounded by a great coaching staff that has over 70 years of professional experience on the field as well as coaching. And I love it, man. I love these kids. And I just happen to have two with my last name on the team that happen to be my biological sons. So I get to see my kids progress as young men as well.
Wow.
How is that balancing the hat of being dad and being coach prime for your two kids on the team during this?
Sometimes, well, first of all, my kids know darn well never to call me dad on the field. They know better than that. And like every father that has multiple kids, you got this one that you saw come out the womb, right. And you got the other one like, I know you didn't come out. I know you might not be mine. I need the blood test you right now. There's no way. But you have that challenging one. That's the safety Shiloh. And I love them, but I've been coaching them their whole entire life, from youth football all the way up. But sometimes I forget that I have two sons on the field, because I'm locked in. When I step on the grass of the turf, I'm so locked in. I forget that whole fatherly thing. I really do.
How much does that help you? Because it can be very difficult, like you mentioned, that dynamic coaching your sons and coaching 95 to 100 other sons in your football team, Coach Sanders. How do you manage that line, knowing that I got to treat them like players, even though they're my sons playing for Jackson State?
I had a rule even in youth league. If you knew which kid was my son, I wasn't the right coach. If you knew where kids were my biological sons, that was a problem, because I can't show favoritism. I don't try to show favoritism. I'm not that one. If anything, I would be criticized for being harder on my kids. But one is really cerebral. He's the quarterback. He's that guy. His nickname is Grown. He's like he's been here before. The other is that prime side of me, that guy on the defensive side of the ball that's aggressive, that wants to make a play, that's going to make a play, that's prepared and steady. So I love it, but you got to understand, I have 115 kids, I feel like, in this locker room. Then I have, I think, 10 more equipment persons, then 10 more trainers that I love all of them the same. And I really do. It's like being a father of many inside to parameters of Jackson State University. And it's a beautiful thing. It truly is.
Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Jackson State head coach Deion Sanders on the Goodyear Hotline. And coach, you've since arriving here been a huge champion also for HBCU football overall. You've challenged other schools to make sure they're doing right by the athletes here. So what did it mean for you to look up and see College Game Day week zero heading to the MEAC SWAC Challenge, heading to check out Alcorn State and NC Central in one of the biggest showcases of college football every weekend?
Well, first of all, we're going to be scouting, okay? That's one thing. Secondly, you can't wait till football gets started. I can't wait. I think I'm flying out Saturday morning or whatever to College Game Day. I'm going to be on that. We're doing that in Atlanta Saturday morning. That's a wonderful opportunity to talk farther about HBCU football and Jackson State, what we want to be, what we could be, what I feel like we're going to be. That's a wonderful platform from that as well, and a marketing tool, to say the least. But I just love the game. I love the game. I love these kids. I love the parents, alumni, the fans. I love the atmosphere. I love professional football. I think that's my first love. I love that. But that college football, man, is something about the purity of college football that does something for me. And now to be able to get ready to participate after the spring, after the pandemic foolishness, and that still is going on, but then a fall camp, summer camp, and it's time to finally get it on. You're like, come on, we ready, baby. Like, come on, let's do this. Let's get to this.
And I know you're ready to get to it because you mentioned about the pandemic. How did that really affect how you had to go about things in terms of not just on-field coaching, but even recruiting, especially at an HBCU? Well, a historic HBCU like Jackson State.
I love it because now other coaches couldn't visit. It ain't like we could afford to visit everywhere we want to afford anyway. So they kind of leveled the play. And I love it. It really did. But like using technology and Zooming, like what we're doing right now, is phenomenal. And my coaches know, hey, man, don't just get me on the phone the first time you meet the kid, meet the family. If we think we have a shot, bring Coach Prime on in and let me do what I do. You know, because you got to understand a lot of these parents – are a little bit older. They had the child when they were 20. That means they were in the 40s right now, and Coach Prime is 54. So I like that margin, that 14 year. They might look, they might have been fans of one of the cities that I frequented, and I played for several baseball teams and football teams as well. So I love that recruiting, the levelness of it that the pandemic presented. But the pandemic presented so many different challenges for everybody. Even right now, we're trying to push. I think we're probably at 80%. We're trying to push all our kids to be vaccinated to make sure we don't have a hiccup, that we don't miss any games. We don't have to forfeit any games because someone could clear out a whole receiving room with a positive test and so forth. So we're doing the precautionary measures. We have a great training staff, and we're taking precautions and doing what we need to do to qualify and to be able to participate.
And great to hear that effort around all parts of the game, but certainly that one important on and off the field. Coach, you talked about the purity of college football. We know for you and your football journey at Florida State, your guys, your brotherhood there suffered a loss. Coach Bowden passed away offseason here. Coach, what did he mean to you and your football development and the coach that you are now?
You talk about coming, a young African-American kid coming from a broken home, and Bobby Bowden coming down to my high school, man, this was the first dude that I'd ever seen on television that actually took interest of me. Wow. So when Coach Bowden walked on that campus at North Fort Myers High School, oh, you can tell me nothing. I was the guy, like, whoa, Bobby Bowden came to see me. I was beating my chest, came to see me, man. I can't help but go. And I just needed to know a couple things. What you going to feed me and where I'm going to sleep. I don't give a damn about the roster. I don't care about how many people on the depth chart. Because my mama cooks really good, and I got a nice, comfortable bed, even though, it's a small environment. But are you going to feed me good, and what am I going to eat? And when they took care of that, we had a sister in the kitchen, Miss Betty, and an African-American chef named Pasco, and we had dorm-like rooms, a front room, like a kitchen and a bedroom. That's all I needed. And Mickey Andrews shot me straight. You're not going to start here. You're not going to do that. But I'm going to give you opportunity to start and to do everything you want to do. And you're going to get education. That's all I needed. That's all I needed was an opportunity. And I took advantage of it. But Coach Bowden, man, being that pillar of stability, of commitment, a godly man, I never seen him off balance. I always seen Coach Bowden rock steady. Implemented Wednesday nights, what we do. Wednesday night was family night, so I got a chance to see Coach Bowden, his wife, Coach Andrews, his wife, and all the families on Wednesday night when they brought all the families together, and I loved it. And that, those things meant something to me, that I seen stability at that age with husband and wife. You got to understand, coming from the inner city, man, you ain't seen husband and wife. You see mom over here, the dad over there in the other corner.
Absolutely.
And either sister or some siblings that you ain't even met, but you know they ain't your siblings because everybody in the hood has said, that's your sister. Like, you saw some ignorant stuff going on, but to see the pillar of stability that I saw at Florida State, and he had a tremendous staff, and I was able to go down to Alabama this past Monday to lay him to rest with the family. It was tough. It was beautiful. And he is a treasure. He is a treasure that we must give him all the accolades that he deserved and understand he is a national treasure to us.
Absolutely. Could not have said it better. Obviously, someone very near and dear to you, very near and dear to so many that was such a pillar for so long in college football. Chenan Golic Jr. here talking to Coach Deion Sanders on the Goodyear Hotline. Coach, we know recently you got to be involved in something pretty cool with Nick Saban. What can you tell us about why you were here?
Affleck, let me tell you something. Affleck called and said, well, we want you to do this commercial. I said, hold on. Let me do my homework first. So we got back to them. Then I started reading up on Aflac and started understanding how much they've done with HBCUs and how over the past 20 years they have a history of financially supporting HBCUs and closing the gap and standing in the gap and what they really represent. When someone insurance don't come through, Aflac steps in and levels the playing field a lot like what we're trying to do now. And then on top of that, you're going to put me on a commercial with Coach Nick Saban, and we're going to get to spend 2 days together. So I'm calling my staff, hey, come on. Hey, guys, we're going down to Alabama. Get in the car, all right? Because you're going to talk to his staff. You know, the Bible says that rod and that staff, they comfort me. We're going to get some comfort today, baby. So sitting on the set with Coach Saban was phenomenal. Just the little things that he echoed, just the little things that he spoke, just to say, you know what, I would do it that way. Okay. I mean, it was unbelievable, man. A match made in heaven, just like Aflac. I mean, a match made in heaven. And I'm so thankful and gracious to Aflac for giving me that opportunity. And the commercials are phenomenal. And I remember one part of the commercial, he was down there in the corner stands, and I was like, Coach, you still got it. He said, I never lost it. And that was real. Like, that was a real moment because he was talking. And I thought, Coach Saban is talking junk to Brad. What is going on here? And we captured that. Like, we captured that moment with Coach, I still got it. It was epic.
We're excited for everyone to continue to see that. Coach, we're thankful and grateful for you giving us some time today. Best of luck with the upcoming season. We're looking forward to watching.
Hey, guys, thank you for this opportunity, because opportunities like this is what helps uplift HBCUs and what we're trying to accomplish here at Jackson State. Thank you for these moments, man. I don't take them lightly, and I treasure them, and I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Awesome getting to catch up with Deion Sanders. We'll bask in the glow of that and get to a lot more next here on the other side, ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today. Find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Janae and Golic Jr. here. Mike Golic Jr., Freddie Coleman, thanks to Deion Sanders, Jackson State head coach and Pro Football Hall of Famer, for coming to hang out with us. Different energy there. That's got to be an interesting pregame locker room, Freddie, when he walks in there. And a number of reasons for those players, but just the energy alone got to be a great start to your day.
Can you imagine Deion Sanders walking into your living room about to recruit your son, and everybody is not even saying a word when Coach Primetime enters into a building? That kind of infectious energy you're going to need, not just to build up Jackson State football, but even the continuing in terms of making sure Jackson State football is not a one-year wonder or two-year wonder. You want to have something that's going to be sustainable, and that kind of energy, you can't buy that kind of energy that he has.
Number one recruiting class in Jackson State history, number one recruiting class in the FCS last year, and some of the stuff behind the scenes pushing Jackson State and other HBCU yep. schools to push for cost of attendance stipends, the way their FBS partners on that level of football get here, trying to see if he can lay the groundwork for some meaningful change at that level. Awesome stuff from him, and as we heard in there, going to be part of College Game Day, heading out there to the MEAC SWAC Challenge.
Gonna Speaking be a, of energy.
My God, yeah. Get it ready out there. Freddie, though, looking towards the NFL here, we've got all these big quarterback battles going that I feel like sometimes these moves can fly under the radar, but still very impactful.
You're right.
Sony Michel, former Patriot running back, acquired by the Los Angeles Rams, backfield that's already been decimated by injury during this season. The Patriots get a fifth and a sixth round pick in 2022 for Sony Michel, their former first round pick. Freddie, is this one of those that it just made too much sense, or is this another indictment on the drafting ability of the New England Patriots losing a first rounder for really pennies on the dollar?
Not so much, because there's two reasons for that. One is James White, who's going to get more of a load, and the other one is Damian Harris. Those two guys really able to step up, and Bill Belichick said, well, the Rams need a running back. They don't have anybody. I love myself some low-round draft picks. This is going to be mutually beneficial for both of us. And it's not as if so much he gave up on Sony Michel. But now Sony Michel can go to a place behind that offensive line and help out Matthew Stafford. And now you lose a Cam Akers, but you replace with a guy that was drafted in the first round, the 31st pick back in 2018. And when you have 3,000 running backs in your room when it comes to the Patriots, somebody was going to have to be collateral damage. Bill Belichick had a lot more belief in Harris. Also, J.J. Taylor, keep an eye on that guy. 5'6", scat back, they can do so many different things. You can put him in the slot. You can run wildcat with him. Bill Belichick loves having Swiss Army knife kind of guys, and he has one in J.J. Taylor. He's going to get a lot more touches. That's why this trade had to be made, because Sony Michel was not going to get the touches he was used to being a first-round pick. You go to the Rams, and you help their running game. More importantly, you help your defense. You help your quarterback. And now all of a sudden, you don't have to feel as if Matthew Stafford has to do everything, because he had to do that in Detroit, and it didn't end well. You do not want him in the same situation with a talented Rams team, especially on the defensive side of the football.
It is a reminder that the Patriots, especially at the top end, it's been a struggle trying to find skill players there. Yeah. They've built a bully up front on that team right now that I think is going to insulate a lot of them. Line gets healthy. David Andrews is back here. Trent Brown back in the building here. Saw Isaiah Wynn, their left tackle, limp off the practice field today in a way that scares the hell out of me, because God, I love the way that kid plays football. But all that being said, whether it's N'Keal Harry, who we're still waiting to see how that pans out, or really the last 3 years, the Patriots at the top end of the draft has been tough. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's better that they went and got what they're more used to dealing with here. Some of these late-round picks that they just seem to have figured out how to scout the absolute perfect way here. So you've got Sony Michel now lining up in a Rams uniform here. We can get some other under-the-radar moves this offseason, but we know we got quarterback news in the NFL today. We got announcements being made there, but we also got some streaking going on in Major League Baseball right now. Coming up next, let's take a look out at the streaking Yankees here, doing something we haven't seen the Bronx Bombers do since 1985. Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Tune in to an NL West battle tonight. The Padres hosting the Dodgers. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Janae and Golic Jr. here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Freddie Coleman hanging out with us today on ESPN Radio here. And fired up, we got a streaking New York Yankees team. We've got the Dodgers with 79 wins looking up at the Giants in the NL West right now here. And we have got Chris Singleton, our ESPN MLB analyst, who's going to be on the call on ESPN Radio tonight, joining us now. Chris, how you doing?
Good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Good,
we're
man.
Doing well. We're looking forward to this one tonight. And I just mentioned the Dodgers looking up here. I mean, got a run differential of 207 sitting at the lead spot. Was a comfortable distance in the wild card in the National League here. But Singy, I want to start on the other side with the Padres. This is such a young, exciting team. Fernando Tatis Jr. But now, after a slide, they fire their pitching coach, Larry Rothschild. Where has it gone wrong for San Diego this season?
Well, I'd say clearly in the starting pitching department, you know, I think the expectations were a lot higher when you had, you know, Yu Darvish, you know, that you brought in, obviously Blake Snell that they traded for after last year's run of the World Series. And, you know, their starters ERA, I mean, 10th in the National League. I mean, this is a team that, you know, earlier in the season, they were performing well overall as a staff, I mean, top three. But, you know, starting pitching has really fallen over the last couple of months. And, you know, that's, I guess, why Larry Rothschild was, you know, canceled, if you will, fired. And, you know, they're trying to get a new voice to maybe jumpstart things and still have a shot at the wild card because, I mean, the division, the way that the Giants, as you just described, I mean, it played so well and so consistent all year long. And the Dodgers are making their move right now. And Dave Roberts very confident in his ball club. And I think if you ask a lot of people, even though the Giants, you have to respect what they've done this year, you still ask people, you think the Dodgers are really the best team in the National League.
Well, as Brother Mike said, in terms of what's gone wrong for the Padres, you mentioned the Dodgers, even though they've been great, they're still behind the Giants. But what has gone right for the Dodgers lately that a lot of people believe what you just said, that no matter what the Giants are doing, that the Dodgers are going to be the best team in the National League?
Well, I would say this is that, you know, even without Mookie Betts, who's been injured a couple of times this year, even without Cody Bellinger, who came back from injury and just, you know, isn't probably 100% healthy and performing, they've had some really good things, you know, happen with this team from guys that, you know, they added a few years back, from Chris Taylor to Max Muncy. Seager missed a lot of time, but, you know, he's back playing. But one guy that I think people really became aware of last year in the postseason because of his run-producing ability to hit and clutch spots is their catcher, Will Smith. I mean, Will Smith, he kind of, you know, just flies under the radar in a lineup with some of the bigger names, with Justin Turner's and, you know, other guys like that, flies under the radar, but he does just a tremendous amount of damage. And I would say in clutch situations, you know, if they wanted anybody up there, of all the players they have, they probably want to go with Will Smith because, you know, in a short amount of time in the big leagues, just a couple of, 3 years, you know, he's really proven to be able to deliver in those situations. So, you know, from that standpoint, they did extremely well. I mean, remember going to the trade deadline when it was like, all right, Max Scherzer, Trey Turner going to the Padres, right? Uh-oh, this is it. You know, it's going to be good. They're going to need this bump. And then out of nowhere, middle of the night, right, wake up the next day, and it's like Scherzer and Turner going to the Dodgers. I don't know exactly what happened behind the scenes there, but a huge pickup for the Dodgers to add that kind of speed at the top of the lineup, to add a veteran pitcher like Max Scherzer. But then also you kept those two guys from a division rival, getting them. So, I mean, that's a double win for them.
It really, the rich got loaded and got to stiff arm their competition in the process. Chris Singleton, our ESPN MLB analyst, going to be on the call for Dodgers and Padres tonight with us now on the Goodyear Hotline. But Singy, we know the whole baseball world right now looking at the streaking Yankees, 11 straight for the first time since 1985. But a couple of early exits from Aroldis Chapman late in these games. How concerned should Yankees fans be, despite all the success, about this late game performance from their closers?
Well, you know, right now, I think all of them are just enjoying and riding the success of this 11-game winning streak. I mean, it's been pretty impressive because if you go back to, like, July, you know, 4th, sky was really falling as far as, you know, what the hopes were for the Yankees. And, you know, the Red Sox were playing so well at the time, the Rays, you know, really good team. But, you know, credit these Yankees. Even before they got Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo, you know, some might say, oh, you know, you got those two guys. But even before that, I mean, July 5th, is, you know, when they really started to turn things around. And, you know, offense had always been a struggle. The pitching is really what kind of sustained them during that time, with, you know, Gerrit Cole and Jordan Montgomery staying pretty healthy, Jameson Taillon pitching better, guys like Nestor Cortes, you know, filling in at times, spot starter, long reliever, just an outstanding job. But when you look at the beyond just this 11-game winning streak, this month they're 19-4, the Yankees. And, wow. You know, the offense with the names – in it for the first, you know, 4 months of the season, 5 months of the season, pretty dismal in terms of, you know, runs per game, you know, 4.09 runs per game. But they've scored this month, I mean, closer to what we expect them to be able to do at about 5.4 runs per game. And they've missed Rizzo being on the COVID IL, so it's not like, you know, they've just been totally, you know, the players that they added plus the players that they've had, you know, they're running on all cylinders. They're running really well right now, but you know, you get Rizzo back, and it just gives you so much more depth, and it gives you potency off the bench, depending on who starts that day.
The weirdest thing is that the Baltimore Orioles have lost 19 in a row. Their last win was over the New York Yankees back on August the 2nd. But staying with the New York Yankees, how much does Major League Baseball, as great as the Giants have been, as great as Tampa Bay has been, great stories with Milwaukee Brewers. They're really fun to watch. Cincinnati Reds been coming on strong. Can't forget about the Chicago White Sox. But, Chris, how much does Major League Baseball to have a bounce, not just for the end of this year, but for in the succeeding years with the young fans, need a Yankees-Dodgers World Series?
Yankees-Dodgers, man. I don't know if I don't quite see that happening this year. I think the Yankees have been a really streaky team this year, and I think the Dodgers are very capable of, you know, being back in the World Series, defending their title, and winning it again. But on the American League side, I think the Yankees are going to do really well to get into the postseason. But beyond that, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, they're going to have to be locked down from, you know, start to finish in terms of that back end. Chapman's going to have to be, you know, lockdown guy. And we've seen him really for the first time in his career have some struggles. Zach Britton had some struggles as well when they tried to slide him into that role. So I think the biggest thing for the Yankees getting into postseason, obviously Aaron Boone wants to get his team deep. He needs to get his team deep for, you know, personal reasons and team reasons, I believe. But I just don't see him in the World Series against the Dodgers, even though it'd be fun coast to coast in terms of the franchises and how storied they are.
Well, if you want to get a potential look at the NL representative in that World Series, yeah, that Singy just mentioned, tune in tonight. Again, coverage starts at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Padres hosting the Dodgers, and Chris Singleton going to be on the call. We appreciate the time. Have a great call tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Always great talking ball with Singy. Coming up next, though, let's head back to the NFL. We got training camps that we are rolling through. Uh-huh. Our season preview heads out to the AFC West here. Let's check out with newly minted quarterback starting Teddy Bridgewater for the Denver Broncos. We'll do that after this word from Indeed. Now, finding the perfect hire can feel like searching for a needle in a bottomless haystack of resumes. Indeed makes hiring fast and simple with 135 skills tests to help candidates prove that they've got the experience your job requires. Their powerful hiring platform helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right on their site, which is probably why Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. To learn more about finding your next great hire, visit Indeed.com/credit. Teddy Bridgewater in the driver's seat, but is there already buyer's remorse in Denver? Next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Freddie Coleman sitting in today for you guys. You can also check us out on ESPN Plus. And our training camp previews continue to roll along. We got three and out, the top three questions facing every team heading into the 2021 NFL season. And we got some AFC West action today. And so, as we roll along here, Cliff, you got the music.
The Denver Broncos.
Oh, it just feels good every time here. It feels like football season.
It's nice that Cliff can follow directions because that can be kind of, you know,
it's touch and go every once in a while.
No doubt about
that. So
I kid because I don't care.
To help us out as we head out to Broncos camp and talk to our ESPN Broncos reporter, Jeff Legwald here. Cliff, let's get to that first question because
number three.
Today's been a nice busy day out in Denver, as we've discussed. Teddy Bridgewater named the starting quarterback for the 2021 season. So, Jeff, what does this mean with Drew Lock still on the roster here? Does Denver have its quarterback of the future on this team at this point?
Well, I think their version of the future, you got Vic Fangio in year three of a four-year deal. He's got to win now, so I think his version of the future is essentially September. So, that's why Bridgewater is the pick, I think. He's a safer bet going into this season. They still like Drew Lock. They really like how Lock worked this offseason, including, you know, meeting with Peyton Manning and doing all the things he did. It's just that need for a quick start makes Bridgewater the call. And then I think at the end of the season, no matter what happens, they'll reassess. You know, do they want to dive in if Aaron Rodgers is really available next offseason? Is Locke, you know, another year of improvement? You know, those are decisions that will come later.
Well, John Elway will be the guy that will be a part of that decision-making process, Jeff. And other than Peyton Manning, he has not been able to hit on any kind of quarterback for sustained success or even for a sustained past 1 year. How much of John Elway and his decision-making has put him on the hot seat, Jeff?
Well, I don't think he's ever on the hot seat here. You know, I think he did the one thing folks wanted him to do who were critical of him, which was surrender decision-making for the roster, and he did that. You know, they hired George Payton from the Vikings to be the new GM, and it's Payton right now who has the juice in his contract. He has all power over the roster, and John is in more of a team president advisory role. And so I think, you know, his presence in the building is always very large, but he has said when his contract runs out after the season, he's still not sure what his future will be.
The last time they had a Peyton in the building here worked out pretty well.
It sure did.
That future with one of the best and brightest in the franchise's history, certainly something to consider. Let's get to number one.
Number one.
Let's head over to the other side of the ball, Jeff. Von Miller missed last season. Certainly there was some talk this might have been his last offseason with the Broncos. What does his return look like in the fall of 2021 back with Denver?
Well, I think that's you want the biggest reason they have rare, or, you know, at least over the last 5 years, rare optimism is the defense just isn't pretty good. It has a very good chance of being very, very good. And I think the key to that is Von Miller and Bradley Chubb being on the field at the same time. I tell folks all the time, you know, it's been because of injuries, it's been a while since they've played together, but in the 20 games they've played together, they have 29 and a half sacks. So that's the kind of thing they're looking for, you know, this year, and that with their secondary, they think this defense can be one of the league's best.
It's, man, scary thought to think about right there when you hear those sack numbers with those two. Everyone, make sure you're following Jeff Legwald, our ESPN Broncos reporter. Jeff, we appreciate you giving us some time today on a busy quarterback announcement day out there. Enjoy the rest of the preseason. Awesome stuff there. So, Freddie, that defense, maybe not good, great in the AFC West, and you're going to need it against those quarterbacks.
Yeah, because you look at the two quarterbacks you mentioned, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and also you got our man Justin Herbert with the Los Angeles Chargers. But, man, they got some guys in that defense that nobody's talking about. I wonder how much of the load they're going to have to carry. But Teddy Bridgewater is going to say, you got my six, I got your six. At least they got the Drew Lock potential distraction. That's not going to be a distraction. I get the sense Teddy Bridgewater's going to have enough road to not to worry about looking over his shoulder in Denver.
And this is the thing, Freddie, because I've had Denver fans upset with me all day looking at this and saying, all right, if you went into this offseason betting on Drew Lock, your second-round pick that, albeit, we know that John Elway's making. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the current regime. But if you're betting on that this offseason and you get through camp and all of a sudden you've got the guy that you brought up to be a veteran backup starting out there because Teddy won the job, I can't imagine that there's not a little bit of buyer's remorse as you sat in the draft and watched Justin Fields cascade down there past you. Maybe it says a lot about what they thought, what George Payton thought about Justin Fields as a prospect, that you wouldn't take the value pick there. But I still look at that and say, yeah, you got this year. This could still be a team that flirts with it. We've got expanded playoffs this year. Teddy Bridgewater showed well for himself on an offense that's going to have plenty of weapons. But I just keep looking at the long term. You got rare opportunities in the top 10 to set yourself up for the future.
How much do you know about this? And you know about this very well, how fans want what they want and they want who they want. Patriots fans, they want Mac Jones to start yesterday.
Yep.
Bears fans, they want Justin Fields to start yesterday. 49ers fans, they want Trey Lance to start yesterday. There are plenty of Drew Lock fans still out there in Denver that think, well, man, you sold us that this guy's supposed to be good and now you're benching him. I wonder how much of that fandom is influencing people shading you or coming at you on social media because they got it, they believe or wanted to start, is not going to be the starting quarterback, and they passed him on other dudes because they were sold a bill of goods that Drew Lock was supposed to be the quarterback going forward.
A lot of them standing up to remind, listen, George Payton better hire a PR crew to say, listen, this stuff wasn't on me. Like, the old guy was picking the groceries.
Absolutely.
There.
Yep.
And as we heard, again, thanks to Jeff Legwald for joining us here, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
he ain't leaving.
Maybe the best quarterback in the Broncos organization is John Elway. That's not good for the Denver Broncos.
How about that? We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We'll get to the Las Vegas Raiders. There's a fine for me with Jason Fitz in a bit. But let's head back to Jacksonville next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.